begin this morning with a big surprise from the UN Climate Conference in Dubai. After decades of attempts, representatives from the countries attending have reached an historic agreement. Details from BBC reporter Carl Nasman in Dubai.
It was striking to hear the president say as well, the agreement is only as good as the implementation. The challenge now will be for these countries to start to implement what they've agreed to do. There are agreements in here to triple renewable energy capacity, to double their energy efficiency. And of course, the big line there is to start to transition away from fossil fuels.
President Biden will meet today with the families of Americans being held hostage by Hamas.
This will be the president's first in-person meeting with the families since Hamas's October 7th attack against Israel. Mr. Biden has spoken to some of the families on the phone. President Biden told supporters in Washington Tuesday, the U.S. will not stop until every hostage, including Americans, is back home again. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates where they are later today, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Interest rates are likely to remain at 5.25% to 5.5%. That's good news for savers who are really excited about being able to get 5% interest on high-yield savings accounts, some money market accounts, and even certificates of deposit.
Four women have testified during a Senate hearing on sexual assault and harassment at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. CBS's Scott McFarland says they told senators the Coast Guard covered it up.
Caitlin Morrow says she was sexually harassed and assaulted repeatedly, including by a classmate.
He would assault me during swim class. He would swim up underwater and grab any part of my body that he pleased.
In an internal Coast Guard survey last year, more than half of women reported suffering sexual harassment.
Researchers say the runways at San Francisco Airport are sinking at a rate of about 0.4 inches every year. CBS News Bay Area reporter Max Darrow.
According to researchers Oluwaseyi Idaho and Manucher Shirzai of Virginia Tech, those runways are sinking.
This is just a warning for the future, and that future is not that far.
They'll present their findings this week at the AGU-23 conference put on by the American Geophysical Union.
One of the highest-profile video game conventions is being shut down permanently, according to its organizers. The Electronic Entertainment Expo, known as E3, had been held annually in Los Angeles since 1995. It was a popular place for game companies to tease their latest creations, but many companies began skipping the event or staging their own events nearby. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents is going for a do-over on a vote to unfreeze money for pay raises and building new buildings. They had rejected a deal between System President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on Saturday. The Board of Regents will meet again Wednesday to vote on the same deal. In exchange for the money, the system would repurpose over 40 positions related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Republican leaders on Tuesday said that the four unconfirmed regents could see their jobs on the line regardless of how they voted on Saturday. Governor Evers is encouraged by the possibility of more Amtrak service in Wisconsin. The state is getting $2 million from Washington to study increasing passenger train opportunities from the Twin Cities to Chicago up to the Fox Valley. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers lose in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were the first to score late in the first quarter, but then let it slip away, losing 24-22 to the Giants. Quarterback Jordan Love lost a fumble and later threw an interception.
Yeah, it was a bad read. Kind of got hung up too long, just held my eyes kind of to the left a little too long. Safety was able to play over the top, and just not a good read, not a good ball.
New York quarterback Tommy DeVito led the Giants on a fourth-quarter comeback. Head coach Brian Daboll.
Yeah, it's his job. Third game of over 100 quarterback rating. Made good decisions, took care of the ball, used him in a run game, Kid's done a good job.
NBA, the Bucks game went into overtime, but they beat the Bulls 133-129. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists.
He was moving the ball, sharing the ball, making the right play.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 35 today, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows level off around 24. Tomorrow, high of 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
What is over the back fence? Let's say you have a
three-piece children's luggage set.
Or a
Kevin Gordon digital air fryer.
Or a
2019 Cadillac.
For sale. Just call up 424-2600 on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Describe your item and wait for the calls to roll in. It's your on-air bulletin board only on WFHR.
Work and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers over on the board. It is Tuesday, December 12th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back to hour number two of the big show. Big congratulations and thank you to Luke Mathers for joining us as always on Tuesdays, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. I mean, what a guy. He's an all-around great guy, so talented, not only on the air, but helping run the network. But also, as it turns out, great home renovator.
Yeah.
Maybe. What do you think? He could probably have like his own show on Home and Garden.
I think as long as he goes, at the end of the intro.
All right. He could do that, I'm sure.
You know, like Home Improvement. Yeah, I think that's what that one's called, right?
Yeah. Home Improvement, yeah. But he could do one of those do-it-yourself shows, you know. And, you know, Luke Mathers. I don't know. We have to think of a title. For a good home improvement show with Luke.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll workshop that.
But thank you to Luke. Always appreciate him. Coming up, more of your phone calls in this half hour. And before we go any further, want to catch up on a phone call from last segment. We appreciate her holding over the break here. Jay in London. Jay, thanks for holding. We had to get in that Packer and Bucks news with Luke while we had him, so I appreciate you holding over. Jay from London, thanks for calling. What say you?
You always underestimate the Packers. Why?
What?
Why are you always underestimating the Packers?
Why am I underestimating the Packers? Because I kept saying they're not going to win against Detroit, and they won. What's the other one, Mr. Zommers? I said they weren't going to win something else, so they did. And then finally, that when they beat Detroit on Thanksgiving, I said, I'm in. I'm a believer. And then what do they do? And I said, I have a good feeling. You know, I wasn't sure if they would beat Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, but they did. And I thought, well, this one, New York, the Giants, this will be an easy game. And they just.
It was not an easy game.
It was not. They played poorly. So I'm disappointed.
I know.
Are you a Packer fan, Jay?
When you're talking about me, I'm supporting Packers because of you, my brother. Right,
very good. We appreciate the international love, pun intended.
Yeah, I don't know anything about football, but because of you, so I support Packers.
I don't know anything about it, but I'll watch it because of you. See, we love that. That's fantastic. Anything else?
Yeah, I was trying to say about the UV system. I was telling Aaron. I said, why don't we give it to the suburban women, my fellow suburban women? Can they do it? I think so.
Sure. I think some of the most successful people in the UW system have been women. My grandmother amongst them, Marge Wallace, the first woman to run a university campus in the system back in the late 60s, early 70s. You had Catherine Lyle,
great woman president of the system for a while. She called the campus at Richland the crown jewel of the UW system, unquote. You had Donna Shalala, who was a great chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, really.
Isn't it Bill Clinton the labor secretary or something, health secretary?
She was the Health and Human Services Secretary under Bill Clinton, then went on to be president of the University of Miami. Miami. And then she was a congressperson, and now she's back, I believe, teaching at Miami. So maybe you bring Donna Shalala back for a couple of years to try to dig us out of this mess.
That'd be cool if she was willing to do that.
I was telling you people, when I sent the letter, did you see what I put there? I said, Suburban women, will you please like me? And I tell you guys, I said, did you spot the joke?
Yes. It's very good. I think I'm all for women empowerment. I would love to see, someone come in and clean up this mess and show some of these guys how it's done. So I'm all for it, Jay. Thank you so much, Jay. Always appreciate your calls from London. I have a wonderful day over there, a wonderful evening across the pond. 10 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. I do think there's something, and you have Karen Walsh, who is the president of the UW system. But again, she literally put her hands in her face after that vote over the weekend. And I don't know if she switched her vote, if she told Jay Rothman she was a yes and she switched it on him at the last minute, or whether she was just embarrassed for the system. I don't know. But Bill Luters, who has been a great reporter and who continues advocacy work, talking to Kelly Meyerhofer here this afternoon about this closed-door meeting, which at last check was still going on with the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents and Jay Rothman and others. And they're making the point that whatever is being discussed, it should happen in public. And I agree with them. I mean, being a former city alder, I understand when there are legit personnel issues. If you're talking about somebody's salary or something in their personal lives or a health issue, or if you're in the middle of negotiations with an attorney on something city related, you can't violate that knowledge of another party and an attorney in open session right away. You have to talk about that. So there are legit reasons to be in closed session. But when you're just sitting there talking about, well, do you think this lawsuit's going to work? Or should we make a deal? There's really no reason to do that, no legal reason that I can see to do that in closed session. So I agree with Bill Luters and others saying that the Regents and Jay Rothman should be discussing this in the open. But we shall see. We'll continue to stay on top of this and monitor it as we go forward here throughout the afternoon. I'm sure many of our other fine programs will stay on top of this as well. By the way, I wanted to announce this coming up at the end on Friday. Our friend Brady Ewing, former Badger football player, captain of the team, three-time Rose Bowl player, three-time Big Ten champion, will be back on this program on Friday. He's been pretty busy in his real life, and he's going to come back on the show on Friday. So really looking forward to that. Right. So I wanted to give a shout out to Brady Ewing and thank him for coming back to us and with us on the program. And I also believe we're going to do a little E-Bombs World on Friday, a little week in review, Mr. Zomers. So
got a stacked Friday.
We have a stacked Friday, as it turned out. So we are working on a couple other things as well. So we rarely plan ahead of the show, but for once, Todd has his poop in a group and ready for Friday, at least. I want to spend just a couple of minutes here on a couple of political things. We've been focused a lot on Wisconsin the last couple of days, which is great, which is really our specialty. I think what we can do well. But I wanted to update folks and talk just a little bit about some of these regional and national political headlines that we haven't talked about in a while. And this one is interesting to me. And I want to make sure you understood. Report today by the Daily Beast saying that New Hampshire governor is set to endorse Nikki Haley for president. Reports are the Republican New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, his dad was part of the George H.W. Bush administration, Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire, has decided to endorse Nikki Haley for president, reports say, apparently settling on the former UN ambassador as the most viable alternative, Republican alternative, to Donald Trump. Sources have told WMUR that Sununu will make it official at a town hall event alongside Haley in Manchester, New Hampshire, tonight. His office confirmed to the Washington Post that Sununu would be attending the event, but did not say if he would be making an endorsement. Quote, I look forward to joining Nikki at her town hall this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun, unquote. Sununu's backing of the former South Carolina governor will doubtlessly come as a setback to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who, along with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, has been mentioned by Sununu as someone he is considering supporting. So why is this kind of a watershed moment? And again, I know many people are like, they maybe not caring a whole lot who's doing well or not doing well in the Republican primary, but here's why it matters. Chris Christie, who I think by most accounts, if you watched or saw highlights or lowlights, depending upon how you look at it, of the last presidential debate, Chris Christie is the last Republican candidate standing who is still willing to call out Donald Trump and saying that they will not support Trump. And in order for Chris Christie to have even a snowball's chance in Hades, he has to probably win or at the very least finish a close second in New Hampshire. And Chris Sununu is a fairly popular governor of New Hampshire. So the fact that, you know, and Chris Christie was knows Sununu well, both governors or former governors of the Northeast. Christie had been governor of New Jersey. And the fact that Chris Sununu has decided to put his marbles or his chips on the table for Nikki Haley probably means that Chris Christie, if he wasn't already, is political toast in this race. It also does a lot of damage to Ron DeSantis, who probably has to do well in New Hampshire, first or second, to move forward as well. So it goes to the Iowa caucuses, then New Hampshire primary, and then I believe North Carolina is next, where Haley is expected, obviously, to do well. Now, Trump could win all three of those states, and the whole thing could be over, you know, not very long after it starts. We'll see. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Dana listening to us up in beautiful La Crosse. We appreciate you listening in La Crosse. Dana, what say you?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for taking my call, Todd.
My pleasure.
Hey, in light of, I believe I heard you say that, I mean, although he hasn't said he's going to, but the winds are saying he's going to endorse Nikki Haley tonight.
Yes.
Sununu. So, well, that begs a question then. So Sununu has been, from the interviews I've seen him in the last year or so, quite critical of Trump, not afraid to call him out, calls him a loser, everything Chris Christie says, although Christie just says it a little more colorfully. So Nikki and the rest of the candidates are hesitant to call out Trump vociferously. So I wonder, is Sununu going to egg her to get a little more against Trump?
That's a great question, Dana. Hang on. We'll take more of your call on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Doing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. 20 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Great question, by the way, from the caller from WLCX, the Eagle, up in La Crosse. Great to have those listeners on the western side of the state along the beautiful Mississippi River, just north of where I grew up in southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless area. Beautiful part of the state. Appreciate the call there. And sorry, we're up against the clock, so had to run. But I wanted to follow up on that great call because he's absolutely right that Sununu hasn't been, Governor Sununu of New Hampshire has not been quite as pointed in his remarks about Trump. And I don't want to misspeak. I'm not sure if he's gone so far as to say he would not vote for Trump if he were the nominee. Maybe he has. I just don't know. But I know he has been critical of Trump, which I admire. But as our friend Trigvi Olson points out from the Lincoln Project, it's not just a matter of speaking out about Trump. It's saying, are you willing to say, if Trump is the nominee, I'll vote for Joe Biden? Because I may not personally agree with this, but there is a line, and I think that it's a line of thought that has to at least be respected, that if it's, let's say Nikki Haley is the nominee, or let's say Chris Christie would be the nominee, that although I find particularly Nikki Haley not someone that I would want to vote for, I don't believe that you can say that Nikki Haley would do the same things as Donald Trump if she were in the Oval Office. So for Republicans to say, well, you know, if Nikki Haley is the nominee, I'm voting for her. I might not agree with that, but that's not an unreasonable position to have. I feel based on Trump's own comments, saying again, and he reiterated it on Fox News with Hannity the other night, that if elected, he will be a dictator. Now, Trump says only, quote, only on day one, unquote. But Trump is all in on retribution politics, on making, you know, government militarized, using the military to carry out his bidding. And I don't know how it's a respectable position to have to say that if Donald Trump is the nominee, I'll vote for him over Joe Biden. Because you might not agree with Joe Biden's policies or even some of his politics, but I think it's hard to make an argument, I would say impossible, that Joe Biden is an authoritarian or a fascist. You have people like former Republican Congresswoman from Wyoming, Liz Cheney, who, remember, was the third in line in the Republican caucus for the Speaker of the House under Kevin McCarthy. It was Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Liz Cheney. And they kicked her out of the caucus because she had the audacity to vote on impeachment the second time, voted to impeach Donald Trump, because of what he did on January 6th. And then she sat on the bipartisan January 6th committee and saw all the evidence and said unequivocally, Donald Trump is a danger, a clear and present danger to the United States of America. She was on Colbert last night on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, saw the interview. And you know what? You know, it was a little contentious at times. I mean, Colbert said, look, I've made jokes about you and your dad, former Vice President Dick Cheney.
And she, you know, laughed at it and was like, yeah, no, I know. And Colbert kind of pressed her on, you know, look, I get that Trump is a clear and present danger. I admire you for that. But look, it's not just Trump. This has been the Republican Party kind of leading up to this the last 20 years or so, kind of inadvertently throwing her dad into this mix. And they kind of went back and forth, and she kind of pushed back. And her point was, and I'm paraphrasing, these are my words, not hers, but basically she was saying, look, we can argue that. We might agree or disagree on that. But regardless of what happened 20 years ago, you can't compare Donald Trump to any previous Republican, certainly not any Republican president or major presidential contender. And Colbert basically said, I'll agree with that. And quite frankly, so do I. And so Liz Cheney's point, a respected Republican from a respected Republican family, is saying, look, you can't have someone like Donald Trump who is bragging about being a dictator, authoritarianism, fascism type of tendencies to be back in the White House. It is a threat to democracy. So let's watch closely what happens in New Hampshire tonight and see if a reporter asks Sununu, you're endorsing Nikki Haley right now, but if she's not the nominee, if Donald Trump is the nominee, A, will you support him? And B, if not, will you vote for Joe Biden? Because voting for some third party person is essentially another vote for Trump. And that's where some of these people like Paul Ryan and others need to clarify their position. Look, I admire Paul Ryan for saying that he will not attend the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next summer if Trump is the nominee. I admire him for saying he is a never again Trumper. But in order to preserve democracy, they have to go a step further and say, if Trump is the nominee, I'm voting for Biden v. Trump. Voting for Biden over Trump. And again, what does it mean to these other Republicans on the ticket? Guys like Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis. I'm not even including Ramaswamy because he's such a complete idiot and over the top. Let's go quickly to Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, thanks for calling in on the phone lines. Karina, what say you?
Hi. You just said about that Rami, whatever, Brahmaputra or whatever it is.
Vivek Ramaswamy, yeah.
Right, right. So I want to know about that theory he was talking about. That what is the theory you were talking about a couple days ago? About they had a debate before. Come on, Todd.
They had a debate what?
The theory he was saying. That he was saying exceptional theory or some sort of theory.
Replacement theory. Replacement theory. It's a far right and it's spawned on by Christian white nationalists. Basically, what they argue is that immigrants, predominantly black and brown people, are trying to overtake the United States of America and put their world in replacement of kind of this quote unquote traditional America, which is of course bunk because as you know, as an immigrant yourself, we've talked about on this show and others, you came here, you are a United States citizen and all of us, just like you, Karina, are immigrants and all of us together make you America unique and make it the great country that it is.
Right. And on top of everything, isn't he Indian?
Yes, his parents are immigrants.
Right, and he's trying to be, I mean, what is it? If he is completely out of his mind or he decides that he's white now. He's no way remotely Caucasian. I'm sorry.
Karina, always a great call. Love it when Karina calls in. Love it when you call in. We'll take more of your calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Alball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Matt Ray.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
CBS News brief, nations attending the UN climate conference have agreed to begin to transition away from fossil fuels. U.S. Climate Envoy John Kerry.
We look forward to working with all of our partners here to achieve these ambitions. And again, I say how deeply impressive I believe this multilateral effort is.
President Biden has told a group of supporters that he wants Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to order changes to IDF tactics in Gaza. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president criticized the Israeli leader, saying, quote, he has to change, and that Netanyahu's government is making it difficult for Israel to accept an eventual Palestinian state.
The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates where they are today, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Rates at 5.25% to 5.5% is not great news for borrowers contending with higher interest rates on credit card balances for new auto loans.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin property taxes are expected to see its largest increase since the Great Depression next year, though most homeowners probably won't feel it. That's according to the nonpartisan research group, the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The total property tax jump will come out to almost 5%, but two state tax credits included in this year's state budget will bring down how much homeowners actually pay. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3
right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 35 today, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows level off around 24. Tomorrow, high of 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at HelpNoKidHungry.org.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant. most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
I see. Hit the search button. It'll come up a little C&M logo. It takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Download yours today. You can listen to Wisconsin Badger Sports, as well as all the other great fine programming across the Civic Media Radio Network. Quick shout out to all of our listeners who are celebrating Hanukkah right now. I have the menorah back on the table here behind me, and many good wishes to all of our friends and listeners out there celebrating Hanukkah. A couple nights left, so peace and joy to each one of you in this celebration of lights. Talking before the break about New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu set to endorse Nikki Haley in the Republican primary tonight, and what this means in terms of the shaping of the Republican primary, if anyone has any chance at all of trying to knock off Trump in the primary. I don't think so. But it appears that Nikki Haley is clearly now kind of the favorite of the quote-unquote traditional Republicans. And for those people like Chris Sununu who are endorsing people other than Trump, the question is, if that person, Nikki Haley or Chris Christie or even Ron DeSantis, is not the nominee, are they willing then to endorse and vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Dick in Madison, thanks for calling in. Dick on WMDX. What say you, Dick?
Well, first of all, Todd, to all these people, these have come to Jesus moment, and they don't want anything to do with Trump. You're all about a day late and a dollar short in my mind. A guy that's on MSNBC from Wisconsin that I can't even stand the sight of, Charlie Sykes. I mean, this is the guy who propped up Scott Walker. And wasn't Scott Walker in this Wisconsin idea that he had basically the incubator for all things Trump? And then all these people now come and act like they had nothing to do with it or didn't, you know, or don't like Trump. Come on. It's ridiculous. And, you know, and Liz Cheney, I look at her like a broken clock. She's, well, no, she's only right once a day on one issue. I mean, if you look at her, everything across the board, and her father and the Bush administration, I'll never forgive them for the way they used Colin Powell. Never. He was an honorable person, and they absolutely screwed him over.
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure of meeting General and Secretary Powell a couple of times, and he was a great guy, in my opinion, and did great service to the United States. I don't necessarily disagree with some of the stuff you're saying, Dick, but I guess the question I pose to you, I think this is the point that both Liz Cheney and, quite frankly, Stephen Colbert were making last night on The Late Show, was, despite our historical differences, despite still not agreeing on some of the things you just brought up, I won't go through them all again, but the clear and present danger of Trump is kind of, you know, Trigvi Olsen, who's on this show, another former Republican now with the Lincoln Project, he's fond of the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And in these unprecedented times of having a guy like Donald Trump on the precipice of going back in power again, which could literally destroy democracy moving forward the way that we know it now in America, do you agree or not agree that some of these people we may find abhorrent for other reasons in the past, we need everybody working together and can't be too picky about it in order to defeat Trumpism and MAGA next year?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that, simply because you've got so many of these third party people involved now, and every one of them, as far as I'm concerned, they're a vote for Trump. Robert Kennedy Jr., across the board, all of them are a vote for Trump. And being that there's so many of them right now, it's a scary situation.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we're on the agreement there. And these are unique times, unprecedented times. And we've never had a threat to America, certainly not since the Civil War, like Donald Trump. And You're right. No. Sometimes, you know, the people you have to get in the boat with to defeat the enemy are not people you would sit down and dinner with. But there is a common enemy out there, and that is Trump and Trumpism.
Well, I'll certainly agree with that 100%.
Somehow
it has to be stopped.
Yeah. No, we're in total agreement on that, Dick. Always appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in, Dick. Welcome anytime. Thank you so much. Let's go up to the SAC. Mark from the SAC, thanks for calling in, my friend. What say you?
Yeah, there's a quote from, I think, from Andrew Jackson to John Calhoun. You know, this is well prior to the Civil War. Something about the Union shall be preserved. I mean, he was raising his glass and toast to Calhoun when Calhoun was making, you know, disunion messages back in that time, and mm-hmm. you know, Trump represents disunion, and it seems like there's a good portion of the Republican Party that is just would be an anathema to the Republican Party of, you know, 25, 30 years ago, completely, because their, you know, their acquiescence to Russia, which I cannot understand at all. The J.D. Vance this morning, apparently, or yesterday, is talking about how grotesque it was that Zelensky came here to plead his case for the Ukraine, and Vance suggesting, well, maybe Ukraine should just surrender some territory to Russia, and that'll be just fine, because Russia is just licking its chops to take part of Poland and take the Baltics again.
Mm-hmm.
And parts of Finland, whatever they want to take. I mean, I've read some of the argument that, well, when Putin dies, you know, the Russia that he's tried to build up again will disintegrate, but I'm not confident about that at all. But I mean, that how can you explain, other than avarice on the part of these Republicans, that they're actually, you know, supporting Russia in against the United States interests?
Yeah. It's honestly, Mark, it is as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, it's the most in a string of many. It's one of the most bizarre, weird things I've ever seen. Because as I was a young person in the 80s and 90s, you know, coming up through the Republican Party, you know, all we heard was Ronald Reagan calling the Soviet Union the evil empire, that communism was the threat to democracy, that we had to be, you know, trust but verify when dealing with Russia. Then you had Perestroika and Gorbachev, and the wall came down, and George H.W. Bush was president, but still, trust but verify it when it came to Russia. And really, it's been in the last, you know, since Trump got around, 2015, 16, and moving forward, that this new love affair has started with the Republican Party, the MAGA folks at least, and Russia and Putin. And I don't get it. We have somebody like Mitt Romney. And again, you may or may not agree with Mitt Romney on most things, but at least he's one person who's still standing up. I mean, if you remember when he ran against Barack Obama, I mean, he called Russia the number one threat in the world. And a lot of people laughed at him. And as it turned out, maybe he wasn't so off base. But you still have Mitt Romney, but of course he announced he's not going to run for re-election. The cynic in me has to think, well, does Russia have some intelligence on some of these people? I mean, I just don't know. I don't know, Mark. But what do you think? You're a smart guy. You follow history. I can't put my finger on a reason, a specific reason, and say this is why Republicans have decided to cozy up to Vladimir Putin.
I think perhaps you're right. I mean, that you know, now that Scott Walker is the head of the Young Americans or whatever foundation or school or school of thought or whatever it is. I mean, and his were supposed, you know, out there at you know, Ronald Reagan's place out there in California. I mean, that I'm surprised that a volcanic tunnel hasn't opened up with him spinning so fast in his grave, that going down some magma pool down below and opening up into an eternal flame, you know, as a sign that something's wrong. Because yeah. Let's remember, you know, Scott Walker was playing footsie with the Russians, with that Maria Butina, and you know, there was an outcry from the Republican Party here in Wisconsin about that. I mean, how many of the Republican Party here today are, you know, that the Russians may have something on them, or they approve of authoritarianism? There's something, a reference I read in Sarah Vowell's book, Wordy Shipmates, that the Puritans didn't really like democracy. They saw it as a violation of the Ten Commandments because that you're disobeying authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, under the whole thing, you know, obey thy father and thy mother. And, you know, in their view, the government, the rulers, were the, you know, the proxy for your father and your mother and the proxy for God. And that how many of these Republicans kind of hold to that ideal that they really don't like democracy when it gets right down to it?
Yeah. I just don't, you know, I don't want to go that far because I just don't know what's in their head, obviously, and I'm probably glad I don't. I guess if you force me to pick a reason, to me it goes back to Trump embracing Putin. I do believe that Putin has information on Trump and that all these other Republicans have become Trump acolytes, and they know because of Trump's pull with the base of the party, the 35 to 40% base, if they don't go along with Trump, they're going to be primaried, and it's mostly Trump people that turn out in primaries. So to save their own skin, they're probably self-medicating, drinking heavily, and swallowing hard, knowing that they're doing the wrong thing, but in order for self-preservation, they have to follow Trump, and he's the real Russian asset who's in Putin's pocket. If you force me to, that's what I would say.
Then they're damned by their oath of office because they swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and protect the United States against, and maybe that's a military oath, but against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And these guys should look to their oath because they're all the ones that insist on invoking God when they take their oath.
Right.
Because there's no religious test in this United States. We shouldn't need to do it. You should be doing that on your own violation, not dragging God in to support whatever you're doing.
Mark, always a great call, my friend. Thanks so much, Mark from the SAC, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, on the, you know, why do they like Russia so much, apparently? I think it goes back, and I'm just speculating, but I've been reading and trying to understand it myself, and I think it's partly that Obama's election was a shock to the system, at least the Republican system. And before that, they were for arms control. They were, you know, made deals with Russia, bipartisan deals with Russia, but not, you know, giveaways. And all of a sudden, after Obama, they're fighting Obama, and then they've got friends and who agree with them. If they're reading these Russian magazines and newsletters and talking to Russian officials and looking at Russian intelligence reports, they should have run against a paradox. It's like the intelligence reports would show that Putin was aggressive and looking to mix it up. And on the other hand, they're looking for opportunities and looking for role models. And I think they it just drove them nuts. I really do. And by the way, Clinton, it actually may go back to Clinton because Clinton worked that deal to get the nuclear arms out of Ukraine and give them to Russia when Ukraine declared its independence in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange for those warheads, Russia said, we will never invade any country to our west. We will never invade the Ukraine. They will maintain their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't last very long.
No.
You know, and the intelligence reports had to show that he was arming up and getting ready to do that. And all these Republicans already in Congress who sit on intelligence or could talk to somebody who sat on intelligence must have known that. Finally, you know, if you just beg a minute here, a minute here with me.
Yeah.
Finally, I think this was in the Trump election era, first time, Trump versus Clinton. You had that bizarre meeting on July 4th with all sorts of Republican officials in Moscow meeting Putin and with you know, happy pictures at a conference table. And, you know, there's Michael Flynn is there, who's still a general at the time, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of U.S. Republican senators are there. I might have been Ron Johnson was among them, I think.
He absolutely was.
You might remember better than
yes.
I. And it's like, what? I mean, that to me was the big tell. They've just made a deal somehow, a tacit deal or a real deal. And I think the tacit deal was, you keep doing, we know about what you're doing to disrupt cyber warfare, to disrupt our systems in the U.S. You keep doing that, focus on Hillary Clinton, and we'll be your pals on the backside when Trump is elected.
Great insight, Ron. Thank you so much. Back with more on the other side. Ron Johnson was in Moscow on July 4th. We'll talk about it after this.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, national news from CBS, ABC, or the AP, depending upon your local civic media station. Quick check of weather, and then our friend and colleague, the great Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will step into these airwaves on this microphone, taking us to the front lines of history, history being made every minute of every day, and Matt Flynn takes us there. Cannot wait for the program today. Join Matt after the news at the top of the hour. Talking about this, we've gotten off on a little bit of a tangent, but that's fine. We had Luke Mathers on earlier on Tuesday Tangents, so we'll kind of continue that. I kind of started off by this story tonight, apparently in New Hampshire. Governor Chris Sununu, Republican, will endorse Nikki Haley for the Republican presidential nomination. And kind of saying, what's that going to do to chances for other Republicans? Can anybody really beat Trump in the primary? I don't think so, personally. But then will other Republicans have the chutzpah to step up and say, if it's Trump v. Biden, I'm voting for Biden in order to save democracy? I might not like Biden. I might not agree with Biden, all of Biden's policies, but I can at least recognize that Joe Biden is not an authoritarian, he's not a fascist, and he believes the fundamental tenets of democracy. And so in order to save democracy, I'll vote for Joe Biden. Will these Republicans be willing to do that? It's one of the key issues coming up in 2024. And that was kind of talked about, last caller, Ron in Milwaukee, is saying that bringing up this 4th of July meeting a few years back, where Republican senators, including our own Ron Johnson, who we now know was at least tangentially involved in trying to get these fake electors from Wisconsin and Michigan to Mike Pence on the dais on January 6th. Turns out Ron Johnson was in Moscow meeting with Putin a couple, 3 years back on the 4th of July. Now, look. You don't have to be a flag waver or wear red, white, and blue every day to understand how that at least looks. If you are one of 100 U.S. senators, the most exclusive club in the world, as they say, you can spend 4th of July in a lot of places. If you're a U.S. senator, you have control over your schedule for the most part. You could have been in Sheboygan, Green Bay, Milwaukee, La Crosse, Superior, Amory, Wausau. Could have been in Washington, D.C., New York City, Miami. Out in beautiful Seattle, Washington, if you're a United States Senator on the 4th of July. At a military base, saluting our men and women in uniform on the 4th of July. But where was Ron Johnson? At the Kremlin with Vladimir Putin.
Personally, I think no matter what happened at that meeting, the fact that you were in Russia on the 4th of July as a very senior member of the United States government is messed up.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Going to do a speed round here and get you in before we go to Matt Flynn. Jack and Racine, you're up first, my friend. What say you? Jack, are you there? Go ahead.
Yes, I was going to take you back in history a little bit, and you got into some really good current topics, but I just wanted to say you don't need to go back as far as the Puritans when you think about authoritarian control in the United States. If you follow the trend of the Koch brothers back, starting, and Jane Mayer, America in Chains is a book that I'd recommend. You find that really the coming out of the John Birch Society, the formation of conservative graduate schools, colleges, and universities throughout the country, all stemming from the proposition that there should be a ruling class, and that, coincidentally, are people with a lot of money. And that's the same thing we have carrying forth under ALEC, of which Robin Voss was the chair for Wisconsin for quite a while, in which the ALEC writes these far-right legislative pieces for people all over the country, and they introduce them, get them passed, and we turn into more authoritarianism. And you just have to look at what's happened in Wisconsin with the way Governor Evers was treated when he first came, taking support from him. Same thing happened in North Carolina, onto gerrymandering and more authoritarian rule in the state. And that whole sequence of events, the thinking and the think tanks and the universities that are turning out people like that, including some of the lawyers and judges, emanated from the Daddy Koch and money placed into training these people.
Mm. Appreciate the call, Jack. Really appreciate the history there. Always good to hear from you, Jack. And we see you. Let's go to Wisco Paul quickly. Wisco Paul, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. Very quickly, Ron Johnson would not be the senator of Wisconsin, except the Democratic Party ran a horrible campaign against him. It just didn't do a good enough job. They didn't step up. And history is not going to be kind to Ron Johnson, not only the Russian thing, but the fake electors thing. And I'll just end it with that, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, always appreciate your point of view and your call, Wisco Paul. Thanks for calling in. Let's go back quickly. Karina, round two. We get two calls from Karina in Milwaukee today. Karina, what say you?
I'm sorry.
You're always welcome.
I tell you how it looks like on the Russian side of the deal. And it's maybe true, maybe not. If you think about the carrot and stick version, now Russians and Ukrainian are autocratic, which means they greedy and tied up to money, and they understand anyone who's greedy and tied up to money, which is a Republican Party. So the Republican Party was the easiest and most logical way to divide the country. Okay, and division make chaos, and division stop the progress and creates everything what Russians would need to remove American influence from that side of the world.
Karina, always great. Really appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. Appreciate your perspective as a Russian immigrant. Breaking news, the EW system Board of Regents meeting has concluded. Jay Rothman has emerged, and according to reporting by Kelly Meyerhofer, reporting that President Rothman is declining to say whether or not he is debating resigning. Won't say one way or the other. We'll continue to follow this in further reporting, especially tomorrow. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. Keep banging your drum.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium. Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up. That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.